1474.
A week on a very sour, sad note. Tragedy striking Afghanistan's people at the hands of a U.S. soldier. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sadly, that is where we start, and it's shocking news. I'm sure most of you at this point heard it at some point during the day. How could you not? It was everywhere. But if you haven't heard, and for the sake of a discussion as to why we need to get out of Afghanistan, once again, backlash and containing it is the name of the game in that country, and why this time an Army staff sergeant somehow lost it, I believe, this guy was based out of Washington. He had served two tours in Iraq, had gone to Afghanistan, this was his first time, left a family and two children behind. 3 a.m., goes about 500 feet from the base into two villages and methodically moves from house to house, shooting people in those houses, killing 16 altogether and burning some of them. It's just incomprehensible is what it is. And now everybody is once again apologizing for this horrible, horrible thing that has happened to innocent people, because they're innocent people and they're homes, and he went and slaughtered them, then came back to the base, was put in custody, and it's a question of why and all those other questions that are being asked at this point, and serious investigating is going on, and the tension between the U.S. and Afghanistan couldn't be higher, and it seemed, although it was high, that maybe things were going to get better, because we had a month of protests across the entire country. I mean, I think this is the death knell, pardon me using that expression, or the hammer on this game. It's over with in Afghanistan. Why would we stay there? The Taliban will clearly use this to their advantage, and if you want to have an advantage, this is a big one, because it's one of their strongholds. They can easily go back and say to these people, look what's happened here. And 3 in the morning, innocent people are killed and burned. Children burned. Oh, an Army staff sergeant walking away by himself, reportedly. This is what witnesses were saying. Leaving his base and opening fire on sleeping families in two villages. Awful, awful stuff. All right, also, we've got politics to talk about, too, as well. Robert Gibbs deciding that he was going to talk about Obama because he's one of the two, David Axelrod and Gibbs, who are propping up the president. And basically, I think that the Democrats are kind of lying in wait to pounce on maybe Mitt Romney, since he seems to be the guy. Anyway, here's what Robert Gibbs had to say about the Prez.
We're going to have a choice in this election about whether we're going to continue positive job growth or we're going to go back to the policies of cutting taxes for the wealthy and ignoring the middle class. Many of the issues and policies that got us into the mess we're trying to dig out from right now. I think he'll watch, and it's clear that this Republican race is going to go on for quite some time. Not a matter of weeks, but likely a matter of months.
Just like the Democratic race went on and on and on. Remember Clinton and Obama? They were the two that went after each other. You want a good read about what that, the Democratic side of it was? Game changer. Although Sarah Palin's not fond of the way she's portrayed in the HBO movie, the book itself talks heavily about some of the nonsense on the Democratic side, and especially what was going on between those two campaigns. Rick Santorum isn't concerned about Obama. He's concerned about repealing Obamacare, and also maybe it's time for Gingrich to get out. He sort of questions that.
I'm not going to tell people to get in and out of this. I didn't ask Speaker Gingrich to get in. I'm not going to ask him to get out.
day one. I'll repeal every one of those regulations that cost over $100 million. The House of Representatives have repeatedly, week after week, tried to repeal a lot of these regulations that are damaging business and will over the long haul.
All right, so bouncing from Rick Santorum to somebody who's already in fact, they served in the Senate together. Rick Santorum lost his bid the last time around for Senate. Harry Reid, the only thing that was on his mind is what I just mentioned at the top of the show, what happened in Afghanistan.
Our troops are under such tremendous pressure in Afghanistan. It's a war like no other war we've been involved in. But no one can condone or make any suggestion that what he did was right because it was absolutely wrong.
Absolutely. Let's go to George in Kentucky. Hey, George.
Hey, I agree with you on the daylight saving time, and I'm a third shifter, too. Can't stand it. also, a couple of things. About everything you said tonight, I've got a personal thing about it, or, you know, my family does. My stepfather was a policeman that was shot to death in 67, and it really tore our family apart, and still to this day, you know, we'll never be the same.
Mm.
And he, the person that killed him only did 7 years in prison. Then, moving on, fast forward, you know, God bless those families and kids that was killed over there.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we need to not say nothing until we find out, you know, what was wrong with this man. Because surely something was wrong with him to do something like that. That's not a normal human being, let's put it that way. Whether it was war or what, you know, he's got problems, definitely. And my son is getting ready to be deployed, so that kind of does a double whammy because, like you say, this puts more of a target on our soldiers' backs, you know, because, you know, deployed not just in Afghanistan but all through the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I also have a son-in-law that just finished his AIT, so he'll probably be going shortly after, too. So, all these things kind of are, you know, real problematic. I can't even say words. But, they, you know, hit close to home to a lot of people, I think, you know, and maybe just one of them, but several things, you know. But,
I agree with you. I agree with you. And hats off to your family for their service.
We know, yes, you know, it scares me that, you know, what's, you know, he told me we're kind of going as one or two places. I'm not going to stay on air.
Right.
Because it's pretty close. But anyway, I think there, you know, might be something to it. But anyway, but you know, our troops go through so much, and they're, you know, so spread out. And I don't know, does anybody really know the clear objective in Afghanistan? Because
no.
We do know this, that as soon as we leave, the Taliban is taking it right back over.
Yes.
So, there must be a reason we're waiting. That's all I can say. I mean, but I don't know why we're there. Do you?
No. I mean, I know originally what the reason why that we went was the idea was that we'd go to the Hornet's Nest, stamp out the terrorists because that would keep us safer here on our shores. But I agree with you, George. I don't know why we're doing it at this point. It's unwinnable. We don't have a clear objective, and I don't think we need to put more resources there, especially now, once again, we're kicking up more and more problems. Absolutely. Hang with us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I'm broadcasting from next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, March 9th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1701.50. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1743.69, $871.85 for a half ounce, or $435.92 for a quarter ounce. That's $1743.69, $871.85, and $435.92.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
You're thinking Philadelphia, those horrible Eagles fans, and I agree. When you see them throwing up on people, you hear about the mock courts, you know, I'm still an Eagles fan. It is unbelievable, and the city has got a tainted reputation. But since I am broadcasting from the Philadelphia, South Jersey area, I thought I'd give you a little snippet of history here. Did you know? As somebody who's lived, I have had the pleasure of living in a lot of places in the South, in the West, in the Midwest, and I have enjoyed, honestly, every single place that I've lived. But born and raised in Philadelphia, South Jersey, when you go into the city, the thing that you notice when you fly in is William Penn. 26-year-old William Penn received from King Charles II the Yes Charter to Pennsylvania March 10th, 1681. Actually, the reason why is it was a repayment of a debt that was owed to his father who had died, Admiral Sir William Penn, who captured Jamaica and defeated the Dutch Navy. So Penn, at the time, was a student at Oxford, and he was expelled for having his own prayer service in his dorm room. instead of going to the chapel. He didn't go to the chapel. He disobeyed the orders, the Anglican chapel. So Penn decided to take his gift, the gift from the king, and move to the colony. And he converted to Quakerism and was, before he did that, and was imprisoned in the Tower of London. So the colony was kind of a holy experiment for prosecuted and persecuted Europeans, since it was one of the few original colonies to accept Mennonites and Amish and Catholics and Jews and whatnot. So that was the idea, not the ugly Philadelphia Eagle fans that you see. His plan was to name the city Philadelphia, which was Greek for brotherly love, which is where you get the brotherly love. So the idea was tolerance. In fact, William Penn was such a good guy, so smart anyway. He treated the Delaware Indians honestly. He paid them a fair amount of money for the land so that Philadelphia was spared the attacks and scalpings that other colonial settlements had. They experienced that. They didn't have that because William Penn was good to the Indians, so they left everyone alone there. But isn't that interesting? The religious tolerance side is interesting. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Maybe they do. Maybe you do if you've read anything in history or whatever. But that's the little Quaker man that you see when you fly into the city that is right there on top of City Hall. It is William Penn. It was his city, and he founded it. And that's part of the reason why he was getting away from all of the nonsense in England with the push-pull over religion there. All right, speaking of push-pull, this case has been a long time coming, but they're waiting for a big ruling Monday in the Jerry Sandusky case. And you know about the sex abuse case, the former coach of Penn State, the assistant coach who's charged with 52 counts of sexual abuse, that they're going to decide how much information should be turned over to the attorneys for Sandusky. So this is kind of a procedural thing, but it is a big deal because then they'll know what's happening with the case and how they're proceeding against him, I guess. That's probably why, more than anything, it's key for his attorneys. So the judge ruled to give Sandusky's lawyer testimony from the grand jury 10 days before the trial. And, you know, imagine the truckloads of what that could ultimately be. The trial's going to start in May, and Sandusky won't be at the hearing on Monday. But looking for the notes of the testimony from the witnesses, it's going to be one of those tell-all kind of things is what I'm assuming. Maybe not, but there's got to be ways to connect the dots, or they wouldn't want it. They wouldn't want it if they didn't think they need to know who they're going up against. And so that's why the push to make that happen. Probably they have a very good chance of that happening. That's why that's a very, very key point in this case. Boy, it seems like that was a while since that story broke, and it was. It was last October, and so much has happened since then with the death of Joe Paterno and everything that's happened at the university as a result, and you know, trying to get to the bottom of it, and then other shoes dropping at some other universities. If they were going to take anything positive out of it, which is very tough to do, maybe that's the thing to take out of it, the fact that other people have come forward where maybe they wouldn't have come forward if the Sandusky thing perhaps hadn't happened. So therefore, yeah, pretty big. At least one senator is on board with this, and it's worth mentioning this. If you watched any of the Sunday Swirl, as much as we're all so fed up with politics, we're also, like moths to the flame, attracted to what's happening with the Republican race. And the numbers, because it is about the numbers in pursuing the delegate count you need. Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina did the Sunday Swirl. He was on This Week and talked about that the mathematically it's pretty much over. And he said he wouldn't trade places with Mitt if he were in the race, that he has almost a third of the delegates he needs. So mathematically, Rick Santorum would have to win 75% of what remains. And he's right. He's not going to win 75%. But I've said this before. It's about keeping your name out there, being that rising star or future committee appointment person or whatever, by campaigning because of the kind of coverage that you get. So Graham didn't say when he was on this week, he didn't say whether the other Republican candidates running for president should end their bids. We played that for you. He was arguing about that. But Romney will inevitably get the nod. I mean, it would be, to me, the most shocking thing that could happen to the Republicans is, I don't care who it is, if it were Newt or Rick Santorum, the big shocker would be if they didn't get it. It would. If one of them didn't, if rather Mitt Romney didn't get it and one of them got it, that would be shocking to me. I mean, I feel that confident that it's Mitt Romney, and that's why the full court press is on. So bringing that around full circle for the comment you heard from Rick Santorum, you know, that's why he says he's not going to tell anyone to get out of the race. I think that's what he's kind of cowtailing to, if you will. And he may pick up some more delegates, but 75% is a lot to have to get. And I think mathematically it is very, very tough for that work for Santorum or Gingrich or anybody that's left. I'm going to promo this and remind everyone, especially for all you third shifters right now, two hands on the wheel, both eyes open. Roll down the window if you're tired or chew some gum. But remember, Friday we have our own version of March Madness. We'll pick out a couple of games. The computer will randomly do it anyway. And instead of football like we do with the NFL, for just the next couple of weeks, you have some chance to win some great prizes. So it happens on our Friday morning show. Whatever the games are, we'll have them when the computer randomly picks them. And you can tell us what you think the final score is going to be, because you'll miss a couple of Thursday games, but then there's games into the weekend. So college football is finally underway, the whole thing that is March Madness, because of the office pools. Now people are really paying attention to college hoop versus during the year. Unless you're just a rabid fan, it's sort of here and there, you're cherry picking everything. All right, got a couple of great interviews lined up for you in a weekly re-rack here on America Tonight. So hang through with us.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America Tonight, we're talking a lot about what's happening here in 2012, of course, both from the Democratic side, the build-up to the convention in Charlotte, of course, what's happening with the Republicans, who's going to grab the nod and Super Tuesday, and how the voting's taking place. As many of you know, we took the show on the road a couple of times. We were in Washington, D.C. most recently, and also in New Hampshire to see what the circus was like there. Pete Levine joins us on the show now. Pleased to have him. He's the director of research and director of CIRCLE. CIRCLE stands for Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, Jonathan Tisch College of Citizenship and Public Service at Tufts University. It's a mouthful, but what credentials. Pete, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for going through the whole credential.
First of all, the youth vote. When I think of the youth vote, I think of what happened last time around for President Obama, and I think that a lot of younger people slant the Democratic way. Now, you did some numbers on that, and is that pretty much true?
I think it's probably still true. I think the best evidence is actually the quite low turnout in the Republican primaries for young people. Could be that young people are just not turning out at all, that they're tuned out somehow. But I think it's probably more likely that they're still mostly in the Democratic column.
Yeah. What do you make of Ron Paul, though? When I was in New Hampshire, at the hotel where they stuffed the media in, besides the media, there were all kinds of enthusiastic, 19, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds that were just dogged in their pursuit of trying to catch up with Ron Paul and getting the message out and all that kind of stuff. Why does he appeal to the younger Republicans?
Yeah, it's real, and they're definitely, it's an important story that they're propelling him. to where he is in the primary. I mean, without their votes in states like Iowa, he wouldn't have been a contender. So, so what you observed is certainly true. I think insofar as the Republican brand appeals to young people, it's mostly to libertarian leaning young people who just want less government. So they're much more the Ron Paul type than the Rick Santorum type.
Yeah. What, if you had to change careers for a second and somebody paid you to, help Romney or Santorum or even Newt Gingrich, what is it that they're not doing that they could be doing perhaps to reach younger Republicans?
Well, they should take a leaf from Ron Paul's book. So, and that means partly a relatively libertarian position on issues, I think, and certainly you don't want to look like you're trying to interfere with personal behavior around, especially around sexuality. So you want to be to look like you're tolerant on gay rights and certainly not messing with something like contraception. But at the same time, you want to give young people a voice and a role in your campaign. Obama did that brilliantly in 2008. He just let young people participate, and they volunteered. They had a lot of authority. And Ron Paul seems to be doing that, too. So, he, you know, those people in the hotel that you met, they were probably doing something significant in the campaign. And that's a very effective way to engage them. And then they engage their peers.
Yeah. You think this time around for the president and going for the second term, will he get that same youth turnout? Do you think they'll come out again?
I think it's a high bar that he set in 2008 to actually repeat at the same level. I mean, the turnout was high, and the proportion of young voters that he got was unprecedented. So it was really a swing for the Democrats. Not sure he can do that again. I'm kind of starting to wonder if this is going to be a little more like 2004 when youth turnout was actually pretty strong. There wasn't that much indication that young people were in love with John Kerry, but I think a lot of them were voting against George W. Bush. And depending on who the Republican nominee is, there could be quite a lot of kind of negative voting.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing that is we batted around a lot on this show is the possibility of a third party. And a lot of younger people who call the show are really interested in seeing that happen at some point. As somebody who's covered government, know what's happening, do you see this as a realistic possibility in the future?
Well, you know, this political system is structured so that it's awfully hard for a third party to break in. I mean, that's not a value judgment. That's just sort of a reality. So we don't have much history of third parties in America, and I think it's probably gotten somewhat harder. But I do think that young people want it. They have very weak party identification, and probably understandably so. They don't see much in parties that they respect. So even the ones who are quite politically engaged and very knowledgeable are not likely to be aligned with the party. So, for example, a lot of the ones who voted for Barack Obama, they weren't sold on the Democrats. They liked that campaign. So I think there'd be room in a way for a third party, but the political system makes it quite difficult for a third party, real third party, to break in.
Yeah. So it's almost branding in a way. It's almost how you brand it, in a sense, the individual, the branding of the individual rather than the party, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a general trend, I think, away from big, organized, structured institutions like political parties. And then our political parties probably haven't behaved particularly well, so I can understand why that would cause alienation. And actually, all around the world, young people are less affiliated with political parties than their parents and grandparents were.
Yeah. I wanted to take a different turn here because I noticed that it was a couple of days ago, in fact, that you were in Washington, you were on the Hill, and you were testifying on measuring civic engagement in federal surveys. What did you find out, and what did you testify to?
Well, they've actually been doing this. They've been measuring. So when we say civic engagement, we mean voting, but we also mean volunteering, joining groups, working with neighbors, all kinds of ways that you can basically improve your community, some of which are very non-controversial. And the government does measure these. So we were testifying really on kind of improvements in that system. But it's important that they measure those kinds of behaviors because it makes a big difference whether communities have high degrees of civic engagement or not. A community like the Twin Cities in Minnesota has much, much higher civic engagement than a place like Miami or New Orleans, and it makes a big difference to the quality of life there.
Yeah, why is that? Why'd you find that in the cold Midwest, in the Twin Cities, that is how I'd go right there, to the sunny, warmer weather, especially Miami? I mean, what is it? Is it the demographics? Is it something that kids grow up with? Or why did you find that?
It's not all demographics because in fact, when we compare people who have similar demographically in those two cities, they're much, much more engaged in Minneapolis than they are in Miami. So it's not all demographics. I think it's kind of culture that's developed over a long period. The one demographic thing that might matter is that the Scandinavian influence seems to help. I think the best explanation I can give is that cities like Minneapolis and a few other cities have a strong tradition of getting people engaged, being pretty welcoming to newcomers. So immigrants are much more engaged in Minneapolis than they are in Miami. And in providing lots of opportunities, starting with kids in schools.
Yeah. I wanted to also talk about this because I noticed there's something that you blogged on that really hit home for me. And it's, we talk about this on America Tonight, too, as well, is the media and the importance of the media or the relevance of the media. And you found out all kinds of interesting stuff, including one of the topics that you talked about in your blog is who controls the media and under what constraints, basically, is specifically what you wrote. And you talked about newspapers and that kind of thing. Tell us a little bit more, flesh that out for us, for people who are listening. I know that they're going to be, that Pete, they are right up against the radios right now listening to what you have to say. What's the relevance? What's the relevance of the media?
Well, you know, thanks for reading my blog, by the way. I think we can't really work together as a people when we're 300 million of us directly. We can't know each other, so our interactions are mediated. They're through the media. So the media is in between us and among us, and we have to work with it. And of course, it's very various. And I'm not one of the people who's really up in arms about something like the ownership of the media. I mean, I think it's a mix, and there are different owners, and it's complicated. But certainly, one of the big phenomena that's happened over the last 20 years is that professional journalism has suffered badly, the sheer number of journalists is much reduced, and also the audience for all kinds of journalism is down, even though there are certainly, you know, there's the big cable TV channels and so on that still get a lot of viewers, but really the total audience is much down, and that worries me a lot.
Yeah, and also that it's we're kind of free range. In one way, it's exciting, and in another way, it's a lot different than when I went to J school at Ohio University, and
right.
It's all about sources and how did you find this out? And you weren't going to be able to go on the air with something or print something unless you really had backup. And now I have to say, sometimes you question that. You question the reliability.
Yeah, and part of it is bad standards and stuff, but part of it is just nobody's producing the news. I mean, I was really struck by this study that found that in Baltimore, there are all these blogs and talk radio, which, by the way, I think talk radio is good. But there's almost no professional reporters actually covering news anymore. So the irony or the paradox is that the powers that be, like the mayor's office, actually have more influence than they used to. Because, in fact, what happens is the mayor's office will put out a press release and everybody talks about it in Baltimore. And there are bloggers who will say critical things and great talk show hosts will say critical things. But they're all bouncing off the story that was off the agenda that was basically set by the mayor because the Baltimore Sun has laid off most of its reporters. And so nobody's down there covering trials, interviewing people, finding documents. So there's a feeling that it's all very free form and critical and everybody has their own opinion. And there's lots of controversy, but it's actually all being set by fewer people than it used to be.
Right. So less troops. We see that certainly in television news and newspapers. You gave the great example there. And things have definitely changed. It'll be interesting to see what happens in media move along in the next 10 years. I think it's going to look a lot different. Pete Levine, thanks so much for coming on the show. Director of Research and Director of Circle, of course, we were just talking about. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again in the future.
Thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
IRS. The three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-342-8068. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 years as a practicing attorney and an A+ Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-342-8068. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-342-8068. Again, that's 800-342-8068. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company. Serving stamp collectors since 1923, Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Tonight, it's your business. Yep, it's all about trying to figure out how do you maneuver this, not the system, but how do you, I'm going to say it, how do you game the system so that you can actually make a profit? Joyce Blonsky joins us now. It's pretty difficult, though, for a lot of people in with the way things are, so up and down. I was just talking about oil, for example. I know some people that have some oil, and they're very happy about these gas prices, unlike the rest of us. Joyce, thanks for swinging late with us. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
You know what? Is it when we look at where we are, what do you do? I mean, do you go across all sectors and try to figure out when you look at the economy, okay, where do I need to drill deeper? Where do I see the future? What are we looking at, technology? What are we looking at?
I do drill down and look at all sectors, but I've been doing it for so long, it's like tying your shoe to me. I pretty much know where I need to zig and zag. But technology is definitely, and energy is definitely a couple of the sectors that I'm very interested in now.
So when you say energy, is it, I mean, it can be all different kinds of energy, right? You can look at companies that are solar. You can look at somebody, you could look at nuclear. You can look at all kinds of energy-related companies, right?
Yeah, but within the different sectors, some are moving and some aren't, and some are flat, and others are really skyrocketing. So even within the industry of energies, you have to know kind of what's moving and what's making hay and what's not.
I like that. What's making hay and what's not. You, by the way, have written a book called Own the Clouds. What do you mean by own the clouds?
Just that. I'm talking about cloud computing companies and how to find tomorrow's Googles and all those silver-lined clouds in the world of technology and finance.
So give us a little hints, because I bet there's people that – there's some people that understand what the cloud is, like they have an iPhone like I do, and they realize what the whole idea of the backing up the information, all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee there's a lot of people that are saying, whoa, what are they talking about, cloud computing? What is that?
You're absolutely right. The book came about as a way to explain what clouds are to my clients so we'd have a better understanding of moving forward and investing. And for those that are going, okay, what is she talking about, white fluffy things? And it's like, no. Cloud and cloud computing is a fancy way of basically saying the internet and all things wireless. It's really a very creative buzzword that somebody who should have a corner penthouse on some fabulous place needs to have, because you really came up with a great terminology. But basically, when you are working on your computer and you have a program that's installed there, you are not in the cloud. But as soon as you hit, like on an email, you hit send, or you hit, you know, your cell phone and make a call, as soon as you connect to the internet or use any wireless device, you are in the clouds.
Yes, that's a great explanation. You're in the clouds once you do that. I bet you, though, for you, when you're explaining it to clients, I love that. I'm sure at first it's like, wait, back up a few steps here. it's an easy explanation, but it sounds, I don't know what it sounds, for some people to make the leap to technology, you know this, Joyce, because with people you deal with, some people get it right away. Anybody 30 or under, they get it. I'm not saying that anyone that's 40 or 50 or even 60, I'm not saying they don't necessarily pick it up, but I think it's harder for older people to grasp the technology at first, don't you?
You know, I do, and when I was writing the book, I actually asked a couple of my old-timers if I could use them as my guinea pigs, and one of them is a retired school principal, so I figured he would catch on pretty quickly, and he kind of shook his head, and I said, read a couple pages, read a chapter or two, and let me know what you think. Gosh, he came back to me, and he said, wow, I could really get behind this and embrace it, and he says, the first thing I thought of, now this was kind of funny, he said, I'm going to buy this book for my kids because we all need to be on the same page and we can work together to kind of plan for my grandchildren. So I was thrilled that, you know, I actually was able to make sense for people who are technically challenged on, you know, moving forward into the future and where technology is going to take us.
Yeah. That's a great explanation. And, you know, it's I used to do a TV thing, an IPTV thing, that we were talking about small cap companies and where we were headed in the future and what we were, then we would look at blue chippers and that kind of stuff. And Apple then was a song, and now you see where Apple is. It really is about, and it's not, doesn't take you necessarily a lot of money. I think you say this maybe in your book, but certainly I know this, that if you just put a $100 into Microsoft back in 1986, it's worth, what, $40,000 today. That's $100.
Yep, that's $100. And, you know, I had 100 shares of Microsoft back in 1986 for the initial public offering, and I could not sell that to save my life. It's true. I mean, back then, every secretary had a typewriter. We weren't doing, there was no such thing as a word program. Whiteout was as prevalent as pen and paper. Nobody knew what software was. I had a hard time getting my head around what it was. And so you're trying to talk to people about what the heck software is. And I ended up using underwear to kind of help me sell my stock. And people go, you use underwear? I go, yeah. because that's the one thing people can figure out. Nobody sees it. You figure you've got it on. Tomorrow morning you start with a brand new pair. So software is kind of the same thing. It's in your computer. Nobody sees it. It's running like crazy behind the scenes. When you shut your computer off, tomorrow you start with a fresh new software operating system and off you go.
Yeah. The Facebook IPO, how big do you think that's going to be?
I'm starting a list of my clients who are wanting to get at least some information. I look at it as, it's a wonderful opportunity for people who get in on the initial public offering. I think the jury is out whether they're going to hype that a little too much, but we'll see. I think Mark Zuckerberg, been a very brilliant young man. He's got a great company, and I am looking forward to that IPO. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting looking where Facebook was and where that's come, and now what some of the competitors are doing. And you know, you look at the brilliance of Google. I mean, was Google just that's the golden goose? I would have loved to have some Google. You could have, imagine what 100 of Google will be as it clicks along.
Oh yeah, and really a lot of your listeners are probably thinking, well, it's too late. It's never too late. There are some amazing opportunities out there right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You just have to watch. All right, Joyce, if people want to get your book, because we should say that all of the profits from the book, is that right, are going to be donated to some charities, local and national charities?
Yep, it is true. I decided last March that I didn't write this book to profit from it, and so many families and charities are struggling that I just decided I would give my proceeds, starting with the Kiwanis Family House and the Ronald McDonald House and Shriners here, and then food banks. And I'm gonna be the Oprah Winfrey of Sacramento and California, and just be very philanthropic with my proceeds.
Yeah, good for you, Joyce. Thanks so much. Pick up her book, Own the Clouds. So we'll talk to you again in the future.
I hope so. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. All right, she gave you some good tips if you listened in there. The idea is people, if you're hearing us talk about stocks and people have this idea in their head, well, if it's, how much I don't have that kind of money. You hear the example we gave, the $100 in Microsoft and what it would be worth, just $100 if you just sat on that, because, geez, you don't have a lot of money. Who does have all this spare thousands and thousands of dollars laying around? You don't have to have that much to start. You just have to keep it in there, leave it in there, and watch what happens. And that's something, $100, can you afford to put $100 into an investment? So the examples that she gave you with the clouds, with things that are happening in the future and the internet, that's stuff absolutely to look for when you're trying to comb through technology. All right, so that's For Your Business. We move from that to coming up in our next segment, the weekly re-rack. We're talking a lot of politics, naturally, with the Republicans and what happened with Super Tuesday and moving forward. So we're going to continue down that thread. And in our weekly re-rack, that's part of the conversation with Tracy Davis, focusing on some of the things that she did in the past, what she's seeing in politics, and a little bit about the current state of the Republican Party. Stay with us.